Oh, today in our follow-up, we are going to be dealing with the principles of learning. Last week, we dealt with the principles of teaching, and I am going to define learning as the process by which new information is ingested and analyzed and prepared for storage in the memory until it's required by the mind to perform its various functions. Let's try that one more time. Learning is the process by which new information is ingested or taken in, then it's analyzed, and it is prepared for storage in the memory until it is required for use by the mind in performing the various functions or tasks that it's called upon. What is learning? And at the outset, it's important for us to understand that telling is not teaching, and listening is not learning. Every week, I go through great pains to try and explain the lesson to you, but that does not mean that you have learned anything. And every teacher has to realize this, because we all face the same thing, that telling is not teaching and listening is not learning. I think of Jesus, the greatest teacher of all time, in the parable of the sower. Jesus gave this to a great mass and multitudes of people. Everybody heard what Jesus was saying, but when it was all over with, the disciples realized they didn't know what Jesus was talking about, and so privately they went to him and they said, "Master, what does this mean?" And then Jesus came back and explained to them, you know, that to you it's given that you might understand these things, and then he begins to expound these truths. The same thing happened over in John chapter 2, verses, that was in Matthew 13, verse 10 through 13. But the same thing happens over in John, where he's talking about the temple of his body. "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was the temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said." Now the Jews also understood that, and that's why they wanted that temple guard placed out there, so that the disciples didn't come and steal the body away and said, "Then Jesus has risen from the dead." But when Jesus first spoke that, they did misunderstand what it was that he was trying to say. So, if learning is going to take place, there has to be a cooperation between the teacher and the student. And the teacher's responsibility is, first of all, to get the attention of those who are listening, and then to take and to present the material in such a way that it is easily understood. And the student's job is to give attention and to work at trying to understand what is being said. If a teacher comes along and in the mind of the teacher, there is that triangle, but when it comes over here, that's what the person understood, and that's what happens, unfortunately, far too often, that we are trying to transmit an idea, And we think that this is what people are understanding, but the thing that they understood about what we said is not that triangle, but somehow it kind of changed shapes, and it's now a circle. And when that happens, you are not teaching anything, and people are not learning what it is that you're trying to teach. Now, it's not just the transferring of the information, but once that information has been transferred, then people ought to be able to do related things that deal with this knowledge that you're trying to transmit to them. So it's not just the matter of people parroting back what you have said to them, but that they will be able to take that information and to work with it and be able to apply it to their everyday situation. Now, how do people learn? And learning begins by ingesting, and I looked for a better word for that, and I just couldn't find it. But what we're talking about is taking in information, and the way that we take in information is through our five senses, through sight, through sound, through touch, through smell, and through taste. And it's interesting that in the very early days of a baby's life, you know, you can try and explain things to him, but it's an exercise in futility. He just doesn't understand. And most of what he learns comes through those five senses. He learns that when you cry long enough, that eventually somebody will come and feed you. And you can tell that baby, now don't touch that because it's hot and you're going to burn yourself. And boy, I'll tell you. And he has to learn more through those natural senses than he learns by you trying to explain something to them. Now, when a person is born again into the family of God, he not only has those five natural senses, but he also has a sixth sense, so to speak, because when the Spirit of God takes up residence in his life, then the Holy Spirit of God gives him a whole perception about things that other people cannot understand. And this is what 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 14, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So for every born-again believer, he has the Spirit of God living and dwelling within him, which then helps him to be able to understand, because the Spirit of God ministers to us through his Spirit. And it's important that we understand that, because what we are trying to teach and what we want people to learn has to do with spiritual truth. And when people can't learn spiritual truth, then one of the things you ought to go back and ask yourself, you know, does the Spirit of God, in fact, reside in that person? Because only born-again believers have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling within them. So not only do we have the five natural senses, but we also have that sixth, or the Spirit of God, and he helps give us understanding, and brings that truth into focus for us so that we can understand it. And, of course, this is what John 14, verse 26 says, but when the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And the same is also true in chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, when he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you, all things that the Father hath, now speaketh thou plainly, and speaketh no proverbs. So the Spirit of God is going to take and bring those things into focus and give us understanding. So if, again, people just cannot grasp things that are spiritual, then you need to go back and ask yourself, does that person have the Spirit of God? He may come to church, may talk Christian lingo, but when they cannot put two and two together spiritually, well, then we need to ask ourselves whether they, in fact, are born again. Now, not only must there come the ingesting of those things through the five or the six senses, but there must come analysis. Now, the minute any information is fed in, the first thing the brain does is records that entry and immediately begins analyzing and interpreting the information in light of what is already filed and stored back there. The brain isn't just haphazard, you know, taking it all in. Every time it comes in, it's trying to figure out what to do and to put that information in the right place to record it and then to put it in its right place and to get it stored back there so that whenever the brain calls for that, it's able in a microsecond to split it or to give it back out. So if the information coming in cannot be analyzed, then the brain, you know, takes one or two paths. It decides, hey, this is really irrelevant, and it just kind of tunes it out and goes into neutral. Or it says, no, this is relevant, and immediately, you know, it begins to take and to fire questions in an effort to get more information so it knows what to do with this information that is being brought in, but it just can't take it in a haphazard manner and store it there. And so it begins trying to get more information so that it can properly figure out what to do with this and where it's to be stored. Now, there are certain factors, and I don't want to get into a long, hairy, you know, explanation of how the brain works and all the rest of that, because I'm not that competent. But I do understand something about how people learn. And there are certain factors which aid learning. And the first one has to do with understanding. And understanding comes by ingesting information in a way which is both interesting and relevant and logically presented. And for that to happen, most of the time we have got to work from that which is already known and understood and begin building bridges to that which is unknown. And if we can do that, it simply makes understanding that much easier. Now, I realize that this often is not an easy task. It means to be able to do that, I must have mastered that material, and I certainly have got to understand something about my students who are here to learn. So if a student doesn't understand, then having mastered the material, we are able to try and come at it from this angle, or to come at it from this angle. But if we haven't mastered that material, is all we can do is just tell them what we know. And if you can't understand, well, I'm sorry, but, I don't know what to do. But if you've mastered that material in working from the known, what they already know and understand, then we've got to try and come at it from this angle or from that angle over there. That's why the Socratic method, to me, is very important, because it gives us this feedback where we know if people can answer our questions, they obviously understand. Can't answer the question, they don't understand. And it's an exercise in futility to go on, particularly if you have to build upon that particular truth, because the person does not understand it. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10, it says, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." And it's got to be laid down there in a certain order. The next thing which aids learning is repetition. And information for this repetition has got to be reviewed, but it has got to be in a practical way, and it must be over a period of time. And the longer you want to retain it, the longer that time has got to be. But this repetition has to do with helping people to so learn something until they can recall it with 100% accuracy. And, of course, the more facilities that you use, the easier it is for you to learn something. So if I'm just using one of those senses, I'm looking at it. But if I am looking at it and writing it at the same time, it means that not only must that come in, but it's got to function through the computer here, and I've got it coming out here. And if I'm speaking it at the same time, I've just got more of those senses involved. And the more that you get involved, the better you're going to be. And that's why when you learn a new verse, if you will take and you look at that thing, I'm saying it, I'm writing it, I'm hearing it, and all of these things are working for me. And if you do that, your verses will come much easier. And then there also has got to be a certain retention. And this is the ability to retain and recall information over long periods of time. And this normally is based upon the original interest, the understanding of the material, the degree to which it was overlearned, and our ability to be able to reproduce it. Every one of us have passed examinations on certain things that if we were called upon today to do, we just simply would have to say, "I'm sorry, I cannot do that." And that simply means that the retention is not there. All that information is stored in the brain, but it's so far down into the subconscious that somehow for the likes of me, I just can't pull it up. Now, if somebody were to help me and to give me a few clues, you know, and the mind begins going through that computer trying to pull it out, you know, eventually it'll come. But retention just isn't there. And, of course, the way that you retain information is by keeping it up there in the conscious rather than in the subconscious. And none of you have to worry about straining the conscience part of your mind. The thing you've got to do, if you want to remember it, is to review it and to share it. And if you don't, then eventually it's not going to be lost, because it'll be down there, but for all practical purposes, it will not serve you. Another thing that will help and aid the learning process is reproduction, the ability to accurately reproduce material which has been ingested, is based upon our understanding of the material and the degree to which it has been overlearned. Now, every time that we have to reproduce something, it means that it can't just come in through one of these gates, but somehow there has got to be, you know, where it functions through that computer, and now it's able to be transmitted either out through the hand, out through the mouth, or I suppose you can transfer it through your eyes, you know. People take one look and you have transmitted something rightly or wrongly. But the reproduction of anything aids this ability to be able to reproduce that. And somebody has very well said that thoughts disentangle themselves, passing through the lips or through the fingertips. And oftentimes, if I don't understand something, the first thing I'll do is get that pencil and either try and draw it or to write it, and to work from what I do know and understand to that which I don't understand. And of course, when we're dealing with spiritual truths, the beautiful thing is that we have the Spirit of God living and dwelling within us, and He wants, and His job is to teach us so that we do understand, or that learning takes place. The next thing has to do with application. This helps us to put into practice that which we are learning. And if something is not worth applying, then I doubt whether it is worth learning. And the kinds of truths that God wants to teach us must always result in application in the life. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and in verse 1, and Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep them and do them. Jesus said, Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. It was not enough for it to be up here in the head, but somehow it had to be demonstrated and applied to the life. Jesus called men not to philosophy, but to a life of service. And that knowledge has got to be translated into obedience, and that obedience must then be applied into our life. And it has got to be so learned and so applied that we are able to teach those same truths to other people. It's not just enough that you have them up here. Jesus said, All that I commanded you, you teach them to those people that you're going to both win and disciple, since that's what I've called you to do. It's also interesting to note that there are spiritual concepts that God wants us to learn. And the first one is to fear God. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 10, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Now, the kind of fear that he's talking here is not when you stand here and your knees down here are shaking like that, but it was a certain respect that they were to have, and the Bible says that we're to learn that. And then the commandments. In Psalm 119:73, Thy hands have made me and fashioned me and given me understanding, that I may learn Thy commandments. And so one of the things that we are to learn are the commandments of God. And then we're to learn to do good. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 17, learn to do well and seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widows. So learn to do good. And then we are certainly to learn Bible doctrine. In Isaiah chapter 29 verse 24, they also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmur shall learn doctrine. One of the things that they ought to learn about that is that they don't murmur. And then we are to learn to depart from evil. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the ways of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heavens are dismayed at them. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2. And then we're to learn obedience. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Hebrews 5, 8. And then contentment. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Philippians 4, 11. And then certainly the teachings of Jesus in Matthew 11, 29. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There are a couple of other verses that deal with some biblical concepts on learning. It says in Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 5, wise men will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall obtain unto wise counsel. And then God can give us skill in learning, and this is what we're taught over in Daniel chapter 1. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dream. And then in Romans chapter 5 and verse 4, the Bible has been written for our learning. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we may have patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So, the learning comes by our ingesting through the senses that God has given us the material. The moment it goes in, it's analyzed and stored in its proper place until it is needed. And there are certain things which we can do that will certainly aid our learning of anything.